Our final reading that same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that they had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping on the way because of his hip. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, you may not thank me right away. That was supposed to be a funny. Thank you. Delayed reaction. I think I need to give you some backstory before we get into the beauty of this passage. If you can recall, if you know the story about Jacob, his name means deceiver or one who deceives, and it all goes back to when he deceived his own father to receive the blessing of his father. See, the blessing of his father was supposed to go to the firstborn, Esau. And so Esau sent him out into the woods to do some hunting because he knew his father liked the cooking and the animals that Esau killed and prepared for him. And so Esau went out to go hunting to kill something to bring it back and give it to his father in order to receive the blessing from his father. And in the meantime, Jacob, while Esau was out, he put on some of Esau's clothes and put some animal fur on his hairs because Esau was really hairy. And he went up to his father, who couldn't see at the time because of his age and his eyesight was failing. And he deceived his father into believing that Jacob was really Esau. And so in that deception, his father went ahead and blessed him. And so after the deception, of course, Jacob had to flee for his life because Esau found out and became enraged. And so the story goes that Jacob left and then had multiple wives and maids and was really blessed in the way he lived out his life. But we come to the point of the story where his brother is coming after him. And he's not coming alone. He's bringing 400 of his men with him. And it's not a welcoming party. It's an army because Esau's coming back to him or coming after him to take out his revenge. And of course, Jacob is still in this mode of deception, and so he tries to send a party ahead of him to overwhelm Esau with gifts and bribes, if you will. And in this point of the story, he actually sends his wives and maids and family across the river, and he tells them to split up, you know. So he's still living that life, that old life of deception, and he finds himself in a place where he's going to just spend the night alone, maybe in prayer, maybe trying to just get a good night's sleep before the day comes where he has to meet his fate. Well, all we know is that he's alone. And in that alone time, as he's probably plotting and planning his next deception, he gets interrupted. He gets interrupted by a man who comes to wrestle with him. You wonder how that plays out. He's sitting there plotting, and somebody comes up and taps him on the shoulder. Hey, you want to wrestle? Or maybe he just comes up and attacks him. But the wrestling occurs all night long. And day breaks, as we read in the story, and out of fatigue and frustration, or maybe out of desperation, Jacob begs for a blessing. And the man overpowers him and touches his hip and dislocates it. So at this point in the story, when there's nothing left, there's no energy left in Jacob, and he's physically now not only exhausted but in pain, he is still holding on. My guess is fearing what is to come from Esau, because he probably figures that he would rather die right now in the hands of the one who's wrestling than face the fury of Esau. And he begs, "Please bless me. What is your name?" The man asks, "Jacob. My name is Jacob, the deceiver." Your name will no longer be Jacob the deceiver. It'll be Israel, the one who strives with and for God. It's an amazing story of where not only a name is changed, but an entire identity is changed, because he starts to live out his new name. He no longer starts to, he gives up on the plot to deceive his brother. He essentially, limping along, is ready to face his brother, to face what is due to him. In our house, we call that a whipping, right? Anthony gets in trouble, you know what you got to face? A whipping. No, we don't do that, but we like to use that, you know. It's called putting the fear of God into him. I fear the day when it doesn't work anymore. But in that moment, Jacob, for the first time, Israel, for the first time, is exhausted from trying to live a life by his standards, by his wisdom, by his will, is broken and in pain, and he's finally ready to be humbled and live a life according to the will of God. And the beautiful part of that story is when he finally faces his brother Esau. Esau, even from a distance, sees a changed life. And he runs up and he embraces him and he forgives him. It's an amazing story. And I wonder, what is it that you're wrestling with today? What is it that you're clinging on to God, demanding your will with? What is it that you have to let go? What is it that you have to be broken enough and humbled enough to become obedient to the will of God? It's not easy. It's not easy at all. many times in my earlier walk with Christ that I had countless wrestling matches with God to change the ways of my beautiful bride. Exhausted and desperate and finally broken, it wasn't her that needed to be changed, it was me. Go figure. Right? But in that moment when we finally are done perspiring and wrestling, and we kind of slump to the ground in a mess, God speaks to us. And in that moment can begin to change our heart and allow us to live a transformed life. And in a moment, our eyes are open to a new and more beautiful way. And what's interesting is the wrestling that we do with God, sometimes we initiate it, but isn't it true that it's usually that God shows up in that moment and says, it's time to wrestle with this right now, right here. Doesn't really give us time to prepare for the match or stretch or warm up, but God says, I want to wrestle with you right here, right now. And so we can rely on our own strength, or we can submit to the will and way of God. And when we do, there's beauty in that. And I think probably the most important thing is to remember that we're not alone in the wrestling process, because Jesus wrestled too. I imagine him wrestling on the night that he was betrayed by one he loved dearly. As he took the bread and looked at it and then looked into the eyes of his disciples and said, this is my body broken for you. And he gave thanks and he blessed it. Do you give thanks for the wrestling that goes on in your spiritual life? Jesus did. And he continues by taking the cup, blessing it, and giving thanks. Sometimes I wrestle with just getting those words out, knowing what he went through. Giving thanks, my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And so, Lord, we come this evening praying together that your Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us gathered here and this bread and fruit of the vine, these common everyday elements that Jesus embraced as the symbol of his broken body and poured out blood. We pray that you would bless it, consecrate it for us, so that as we partake, we become one with Christ and one with each other, giving up our place on the mat, the wrestling mat, and submitting our will to yours for the sake of a new heart, a changed attitude, and a love and grace that abounds. Amen. A couple housekeeping rules, if you will. I would like to invite you to. The housekeeping is this. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come forward. Slide that way. and you come over here, to receive this gift of grace. You just have to come with an open heart, an open mind, and open hands. And he will tear off a piece of bread and say, the body of Christ broken for you. And then you'll receive that grace and dip it into the cup where you will say, the blood of Christ shed for you. Got it? There's an offering basket there if you desire to give back to God. You can wrestle with that if you want. But this should be a holy, sacred moment where you can come and offer a piece of yourself at the foot of the cross and receive a piece of Christ and receive that blessing. The table has been set. We have a gluten-free station here as well. So, as the Spirit leads you, come and be fed. You are the initiator of all the wrestling matches that we we choose to accept. We'd pray for the strength to endure those, yet the weakness to embrace in humility what you wish to teach us. Grant that every time we wrestle with you and humble ourselves before you, that we too, like Israel, would be blessed to be able to strive with you and live. For the sake of sharing with the world your transforming love. Amen. Place blessed like Israel, having striven with God and lived. May you go full of love and hope, endurance and courage, to be the very bearer of Christ to the world. Amen.